Hello, this is Dave Jeffrey, welcoming you once again to Optimal Life on the RPH Network. Produced in the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. I know that we're all missing our two lovely ladies that read with me, Virginia Collins and Lynn Perrott, but unfortunately, due to coronavirus, we cannot all get in the same studio together, so I've just had to do it on my own recently. 2RPH has been very positive and very forward during the coronavirus, and hopefully the girls will be back very, very soon. In today's program, we're going to look at understanding your super with an eye on coronavirus. Things have changed. And the late Gus Merzy, many of us in our era, grew up on his music. And nursing home care and aged care, to go or not to go, how to have that awkward conversation. First up today, we're going to take a look at the late Gus Merzy's life. This is taken from the Sydney Morning Herald on the 26th of June, written by Leslie Bryden. It says, Gus Merzy, musical pioneer, entertained all from the frontline troops right up to the Royals. From a childhood prodigy to a seasoned musician, band leader and entertainer, producer Gus Merzy enjoyed a career spanning more than eight decades. Renowned for his talent with the piano accordion and ability to lift the mood in a room with its energy and pizzazz, Merzy's talents were widely sought after. He performed for royalty. He played in concert halls, live music venues, radio, television in Australia, Canada, and the United States. His most celebrated role, however, was as musical director and producer for the Australian and United States Armed Forces fighting in Vietnam, as well as Japan, Korea, Malaysia, and the Sinai. He did 24 tours in all. Gus Merzy's legacy also includes piano accordionist on the original soundtrack of the immensely popular children's TV series Skippy the Bush Kangaroo. Gus later admitted that his first landing in a war zone in 1966 was a little daunting. But the band got used to performing in flak jackets and helmets and having to scuttle from the stage during air raid shelters when they heard bombs dropping or the alarms went off. In Vietnam, he shared the stage with legendary comedian Bob Hope, also other US and Australian celebrities. These included John Wayne, Robert Mitchum, Nancy Sinatra, Ricky May, Little Patty and Col Joy. Merzy had genuine empathy for the mood of soldiers in a war zone far from home, and they warmed to him with his ability to lift their spirits with music that was catchy and familiar. This quality was still apparent when he was asked to play at the 40th anniversary concert to commemorate the Battle of Long Tan. This was at the War Memorial in Canberra in 2006. His loyal and enthusiastic support for the troops in Australia and abroad earned him the title of Australian Ambassador of Entertainment Armed Forces. Then, in 1987, Merzy was honoured by the RSL with the ANZAC of the Year Award. In 1994, he received the Vietnam Logistics Support Medal. Gus Merzy was born in Broken Hill to immigrants Giuseppe and Christina. They had travelled from Italy with his three older siblings. The couple started a boarding house in the town where they became the go-to contacts for new immigrants arriving in Broken Hill for work. As the musical inspiration for the family and the town, Giuseppe was delighted when his son showed a natural talent for music. He was delighted to help him play the piano accordion at just 4 years of age. From that promising start, there was no stopping Merzy. At the tender age of just 10, Merzy performed with the youth show on Radio 2UE. Recognising his son's potential, Giuseppe was determined to help him pursue opportunities further afield. The pair left Broken Hill for Sydney, driving a 1936 Chevrolet Tour. they had to busk along the way to pay for fuel, food and accommodation. At 15, Gus was studying at the Conservatorium of Music. He scored his first professional engagement as a solo with the maestro Isidore Goodman, and then at the St. James Theatre Orchestra. He also played at the State and Prince Edward Theatres. As his reputation grew, he became the first and only Australian piano accordionist to perform with the Sydney Symphony Orchestra under the baton of Sir Joseph Post. Forming his own band, the Gus Mersey Quintet, in 1945, he signed a contract with the ABC. He appeared in numerous variety shows on and off air. This arrangement did not prevent him, however, from accepting a constant string of other radio engagements. Among these was the Jack Davies Show on Radio 2GB. And next we have a really interesting part of Gus's life. In 1956, when television started in Australia, Mersey was front and centre as musical director of the inaugural Celebration Show on Channel 9. This was in the presence of Prime Minister Sir Robert Menzies. He stood by to strike up the band after Bruce Gyngell famously uttered those words, "Good evening and welcome to television." Mersey's TV career quickly gathered momentum. He performed regularly on the ABC's Magic of Music. There was the Johnny O'Keefe 6 o'clock Rock, the Bobby Lim Show Sound of Music, the Channel 9 Network. He also made guest appearances on the Don Lane Show and the Mike Walsh Show. The well-known poll, Music Maker, in 1953 voted Mersey the best piano accordionist in Australia. The following year, he was invited to play at the Royal Command Performance for Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip. This was at Parliament House in Canberra. He also played at the Royal Ball at the Sydney Town Hall. Years later, he gave another Royal Command performance in Adelaide, this time for the Queen Mother. A versatile artist, Gus Mersey performed in the first jazz concert in Australia at the Sydney Town Hall. Later, he took this Australia-wide. His band also featured at historically significant ceremonies. There was the opening of Darling Harbour and the Glebarden Bridge. His output was prodigious. Throughout his career, Mersey played solo, quintet and big band performances. These included at the Sydney Trocadero and the glamorous nightclubs, Romano's, Checkers and Prince's. Mersey played in concerts and charity functions as well as private parties for the rich and famous. He recorded soundtracks for advertising jingles, and he made 5 vinyl albums with Philips and Festival Records. In 1979, Mersey became the first entertainer in Australia to be recognised for his contribution to music and the wider industry. He was then awarded an Order of Australia Medal. A long-time Bondi resident, he contributed for many years to Waverley Council citizenship celebrations. He welcomed newly committed Australian citizens. He gave a passionate rendition of the national anthem and he took requests of music from their homelands. He bridged the gap between the past and the future. Appointed an Australia Day ambassador, he travelled widely through New South Wales. He performed a sentimental annual ritual where he returned to Broken Hill. That's where his long career began. Gus Mersey is survived by his daughter, Sue Ellen, and granddaughter, Christina. What a great Australian there, looking at the life of the late Gus Mersey. And I thought it was very apt, they said, when Bruce Gyngell uttered those famous words, "Good evening and welcome to television," Gus Mersey provided the music. And just adding a personal note here, it says he was a Bondi resident who played at the Waverley citizenship ceremonies. I was involved in a lot of those, and Gus was always fantastic, and he really made new Australians feel at ease. You're a great man, Gus Mersey, and may you rest in peace. Okay, we're going to take a look now at how the coronavirus is and might affect our super. It's called Pandemic Highlights, Super's Shortcomings. It is from the Sydney Morning Herald on the 3rd of June. Written by Charlotte Grieve, the section is entitled You're Super. An intergenerational war began recently when retiree groups floated an idea of a universal pension. By scrapping the means test, anyone aged over 69 could then receive $472 a week. This would be regardless of their assets. Millennials were appalled that boomers could want more. Sell your property or cash in your stocks, they said in droves. The economic fallout from coronavirus has hit everyone, retirees included. Dividend cuts, equity losses, fruitless term deposits and slowing rental yields have meant income all but dried up. One solution might be unlocking home equity. The phone has been ringing off the hook at reverse mortgage specialists. Its online calculators show 65-year-old with a $1 million home in Melbourne or Sydney could be eligible for a loan up to $200,000. House prices look like they'll take a further beating in the wake of the pandemic, and homeowners want to set themselves up before it's too late. The COVID-19 crisis has highlighted a much bigger issue that the age pension and super are not enough to retire on. Now, while cashing in on the home might be attractive for some, it's not for everyone. Older Australians are renting, and those who do have property might want to retain its value to pay for a deposit for aged care in the future. Retirees are also living longer, and many are slipping through the cracks. The number of people aged over 50 and looking for work is rising. Older Australians are the fastest growing cohort on the New Start payments. Women aged 65 to 75 are also the fastest growing cohort becoming homeless. Superannuation is increasingly becoming the primary asset to lean on later in life. In 1997, 12% of retired Australians aged 45 and over said super was their main source of income. This is compared with 25% a decade later. But the compulsory super was not legislated until 1992. This means that older Australians have not yet fully benefited from the scheme. Helping older members decide what to do with their retirement savings is complex. It gets very personal very quickly. So in a sense, the challenge is how do we have enough personalisation in retirement strategy that really does support our lifestyle? Also, support the needs of the person. Without proper financial advice, many retirees draw down their lump sum and hope that it will see them through. However, there were real benefits to staying invested. Older Australians could also be linked with financial products that are suited to them, such as annuities, income for life in return for a lump sum investment. Key to forging the right path may be access to data. Now, we've got some advice here. It says, the key to forging the right path may be access to data. Well, the group called Super Consumers filed a submission to a review of financial advice consumer protection laws. It pushes the case for consumer data rights to be extended to super. Subject to permission, funds could then collect and share data with the registered third parties. This would allow for more innovative business models to emerge to help retirees manage their money better. Health, banking, and lifestyle data could also be shared with financial advisors to maximise income or budgeting outcomes. The potential for this is a game changer. They could get data from other sources and help people plan for retirement in a much better way. Someone's age, postcode, and starting balance can determine a lot about someone's health, longevity, and the likelihood of their spending habits. They will go a long way to start customising their solutions. Now, that article there was saying that the pandemic highlights changes and shortcomings in our super. One of the things they're saying is that house prices are going to fall, but don't feel tempted to take the equity out of your home. Leave it in. It will benefit you in the long run. Good luck. You're listening to Optimal Life on the RPH Network. Well, in our last program, you may remember we had a quiz. Well, it's proven to be very, very popular, so we're going to try it again today. Now, I must admit to cheating, not cheating, but biasing the quiz a little in favour of us older ones. So if you're a bit older, I think you've got an advantage. Okay, the first question asks, which Jamaican runner is an 11-time world champion and holds the record in the 100 and 200 metre race? Question 2, which boxer was known as the greatest and the people's champion? Question 3, in what year was the first ever Wimbledon championship held? Question 4, in what year was the very first model of the iPhone released? Question 5, who discovered penicillin? Question 6, who was the first woman to win a Nobel Prize? That was in 1903. Question 7, which planet has the most gravity? Okay, we'll just quickly run through those again. Firstly, which Jamaican world record holder has the record for the 100 and the 200 metres? Question 2, the greatest and the people's champion boxer. What was his name? Question 3, what year was the first Wimbledon tournament? And question 4, what year was the first model of the iPhone released? Number 5, who discovered penicillin? And number 6, who was the first woman to win the Nobel Prize in 1903? Question 7, the last one, says which planet has the most gravity? All right, we'll have a look at those in a minute or two. Continuing now with the very serious problem of elder abuse. I must preempt this by saying I'm greatly indebted to Therese Plain. Now, we have a great program here on Radio 2 RPH and the RPH Network called Aging with Attitude. It is beautifully produced and wonderfully researched by Therese Plain. And Therese, I'm very, very thankful to you for this. It's a most interesting and important article. It's called World Elder Abuse Awareness, and it goes digital. This article is taken from the June edition of the Council of the Aging magazine. With the incidence of elder abuse likely to increase as a result of COVID-19 emergency, world elder abuse awareness is more important than ever. The Australian Institute of Family Studies estimates that up to 14% of older Australians may experience elder abuse, which is a type of family violence. Elder abuse is any mistreatment of an older person by another person. Often that person is a family member or a carer, but it could be a friend or a neighbour on whom they depend. With the increase in physical distancing to combat COVID-19 epidemic, community events to mark this have moved online. There's a dedicated website. It is www.elderabuseawarenessday.org.au. Now, I'll say that again at the end of this item. They provide legal service and non-legal advocacy to anyone aged 60 and above or any Indigenous aged 45 and over. In the current economic climate, with large numbers of job losses and people being unable to pay their rent or home loans, the trend to move and live with older parents or other relatives will be driven by financial necessity. Depending on family relationships and arrangements, this may work out. However, at the group called Seniors' Rights, they assist older people whose experiences have resulted in elder abuse. Many of the calls they receive are into the helpline. They're from people who are concerned about someone they know. Now, if you are concerned about someone but you're not sure what is going on, well, there are corresponding services. They can provide information and advice to anyone. Involving the right services early can help identify when an older person is at risk. If you need information about elder abuse, there's a number here you can call, 1-800-ELDER-HELP. Now, that translates to 1-800-353-374. Seniors' Rights can also be contacted at info@seniorsrights.org.au. Now, I'll come back in just a moment and say those numbers again. There's a couple of there, so if you've got a pencil and paper, might be handy. It's very important. Okay, it's 1-800-ELDER-HELP, which is actually 1-800-353-374. Another number here, 1-800-424-079. Or you might like to get them on info@seniorsrights.org.au. And there's two things I'd like to say here. Once again, thanks very much to Therese Plain for providing that to us. And also, Seniors Rights are great sponsors of this program. So thank you too, and we're very glad to give information about your wonderful services. Okay, let's have a look at the answers to those questions. Question one, which Jamaican runner holds the world record for the 100 and the 200 metres? And of course, that's Usain Bolt. The Lightning Bolt, I think he calls himself. Number two, who was the greatest and the people's champ? Yes, Muhammad Ali. Now, number three, what year was the first Wimbledon tennis tournament ever played? That was 1877. And number four, when was the first model of the iPhone released? And that was 2007. Number five, who discovered penicillin? That was Ian Fleming. Now, number six asks, who was the first woman to win the Nobel Prize in 1903? That was Marie Curie. Pity they don't say what she won it for. I guess the Peace Prize, of course. Number seven, which planet has the most gravity? The answer there, that's Jupiter. Hey, bit of fun. Hope you did well. You're listening to Optimal Life on the RPH Network. All right, another question for you now. Do you ever think about researching your family history? Well, richer than any fictional story, family history is steeped in cycles of birth, life, work, and death. This is taken from the Body and Mind magazine in January this year. It is as much a journey as a process. You'll learn of the major events that caused the movement of vast numbers of people to British colonies, the Irish famines, the Industrial Revolution, pogroms, battles. You'll come to understand the formative stages of the Australian character. That's the periods of pastoral expansion, frontier conflict, gold rushes, droughts, floods, world wars, and health disasters like influenza epidemic. No family has uninteresting forebears. Scratch the surface and you'll find madness, illegitimacy, criminal behaviour, sexual liaisons, matches that were almost definitely not made in heaven. Okay, how to get started? Now, you can save a lot of time by using one of the big family tree websites, such as Ancestry or MyHeritage. There are costs, so do check them out. Now, birth, deaths, and marriage and travel records. Each state has their own system. Most allow you to search for name and date fields and multiple events at the same time, i.e. births, marriages, deaths, and even travel. Most allow you to purchase a PDF copy of these records online or paper copies by post. Trove. Now, Trove is an online database operated by the National Library. It's a treasure house for researchers, writers, and family history enthusiasts. State libraries are good. All Australian state libraries now have a portion of their collections available online. These are invaluable. A great place to start for your research. Digital image collections, for example, can be a mine of information. That is, particularly if your relative was a public figure. National Archives. These offer a dedicated family history section on their website. Just go to naa.gov.au. I'll say that again. It's National Archives, of course. naa.gov.au. Then click on Researching Your Family. National Archives hold records on people who might have migrated to Australia or became an Australian citizen. People who've applied for a relative to visit them from overseas, served in the Army, Air Force, or Navy, or enrolled to vote. Now, there's local records, and they say here some of the best records are not made online. The best way to access these records is often through local historical organisations. They'll often search records for you, usually in return for a small donation. Graves. Well, graves are a wealth of information, and they've often been overlooked. DNA tests. The latest development in family history research is DNA testing service, the best known of which is run by Ancestry.com. Well, they were just a few hints on how you could track your family ancestry. Good luck with it. I'm sure it's a lot of fun, and it sounds like it could be very interesting. Well, that's about all we have time for in the program today. Just before we go, I'd like to tell you about Seniors Rights, the wonderful sponsors of this program. And we just heard how they're helping with elder abuse. Your rights, your voice. And just a few services I'd like to single out. They've got legal, advocacy, education. Also, they'll help you having body corporate disputes, perhaps with an aged care home. And as we mentioned before, elder abuse. They're a wonderful group. Now, Seniors Rights, you can contact them on 1-800-424-079 or you can contact them at seniorsrightsservice.org.au. That number again, 1-800-424-079. Seniors Rights, a wonderful free organisation for you. Well, that's about all we've got time for in the program today. I hope you've enjoyed it. This is Dave Jeffrey saying thank you for being with me, and I look forward to your company again soon. Bye now.